Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to be here tonight. We're going to sing for a while. And of course, after that, we'll have our Bible study. But before we do anything, we've got to pray. So I'm going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this evening, praying, O God, that thou wouldst be here with us this night. Praying, O God, that thy presence would be here, that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. We ask that thy perfect will be done as we submit ourselves unto thee, Lord. And we pray, O, that thy spirit would have free course here tonight. And I pray, O God, that thou wouldst preside over this entire service. Let thy perfect will be done, we pray. Let everything be done according to thy will. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your chorus book, we're going to start with number 15 this evening. The windows of heaven are open. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. Why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. Why I'm happy tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I am thankful to know tonight that we serve a God without limitations, and I'm thankful to know that if we put our trust in Him, everything is going to be okay. That's the best thing you could possibly do. Trust the Lord. And you know, some people, they trust in their weapons, they trust the government, but that's not what we do. We put our faith and our trust in the Lord. So why don't we look across the page and sing number 19 and sing Some Trust in Chariots.
Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know I that the Lord saved his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know I that the Lord saved his anointed. We will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to number 77 and sing "In the Name of Jesus." In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in his great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in his great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in his great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise.
is the Lord. Oh, that mighty name of Jesus. That name in which no devil can stand in the presence of. Praise the Lord. Jesus, our Savior, who overcame sin, death, and hell. Praise the Lord. We have victory in that name. The name of the Lord. It's a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for our souls. Praise the Lord. Let's go to number 90 and sing the name of the Lord.
The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a work I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. That name of Jesus, there's just something about that name. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 22 and sing Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Number 22. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Kingdoms rise and fall, but Jesus is always the same. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 122 now and sing Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. That's the reason why I love Him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. Is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. That's the is the sweetest name I know. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That wonderful name of Jesus, that name which is above every name. Praise the Lord. Let's go to number 178 and sing His Name is Wonderful.
His name
Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, rock of all ages, almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
His name truly is wonderful. Glory to God. Well, time is going quickly, so I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy love towards us, for Thy care towards us, for Thy sustaining power, for having kept us, for having given us this opportunity to come together, for having given us this place where we can gather. For we know that this is all a gift from Thee, and we are so thankful for all that Thou hast done for us. And I pray, O God, that we would continue to walk under Thy direction, to follow Thy will. And I pray that Thou wouldst continue to lead us. We ask for Thy direction on how these funds should be used for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy wonderful name. And I ask, O God, that Thou wouldst bless the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word, but we're going to do something a little different, something we haven't done for a long time. We are going to open up the Red Book. I don't know if everybody has one, but I've got some up here. There should be enough for everybody. So, if you need one of these, just go ahead and raise your hand, and I'll get you one. you have one?
Is this one the Pentecostal Praises?
Yep.
Okay.
That's the one. All right. And there's a song that, you know, it gets in my head sometimes. It's a wonderful song. We haven't sang it for a while because it's not in Melodies of Praise, but I believe it's number 305 in this book. Oh, how I love Jesus. So we're going to sing that tonight. Praise the Lord. With that thought in mind, we will go ahead and get started with our Bible study. Praise the Lord.
Hi. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight. I must say, it's wonderful to be here, really. I'm so glad we can worship the Lord, you know. We know His name. We've come to Him. We've experienced Him. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to access that name and to know it in our time of need and all the other moments in our lives, too. Just so many don't know it. So many don't have this wonderful privilege that we have. It's, you know, it's a swear word. It's a cuss word. It's taking the Lord's name in vain so often. And what a horrendous thing. And it's the name of our God, the one who created this world and came to this world so that we might have hope and so that we might know Jesus. We might, oh my, live in eternity. Praise the Lord. We are blessed. But yet I know we live in a world where not much is appreciated. The good things of God, the wonderful plan that he's brought forth and what he did for us, that blood that he shed for us, it's not really esteemed. It's not really appreciated by very many. Most don't take the time to travel for the word, to listen to what he might have to say to them. Most people just are on that other road that leads to destruction. But here we are tonight. Amen. We can sing and we can pray and we can worship. What a wonderful thing it is. Amen. Let's just cry out to the Lord here as we pray and talk to Him. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, that we can join here together tonight, Lord. Oh, God, that we can sing your praises, Lord. And oh, God, that we can open up your word. And oh, God, that we can look to you, Jesus. Oh God, we were sinners, Lord. We were all lost and unfound, and oh God, without knowledge. And oh God, so lost in this world, Lord. And you had mercy on us. Oh, you had mercy on us, God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for what you've done in our hearts. And oh God, how you brought us out of the depths of sin. Oh Lord, out of the miry clay, Lord. Oh God. Oh Lord, in that hopeless condition that we all were in at one point. Lord, you've redeemed us and you've set us free. We thank you, Lord, that we can be here tonight, Lord. Oh, God, that we can be in heavenly places, Lord. And I pray, oh, Lord, oh, God, that you be here to meet the needs of your people, Lord. I ask, oh, Lord, that your presence would come down, that you would touch us, oh, God, for you know the needs of each and every one of the individuals that are sitting here, Lord, and those that are online and those that will listen to this recording someday. Oh, Lord, I pray, oh, Lord, that the heavens would break forth, Lord. And, oh, God, that your presence would break forth. Lord, that you would touch us, Lord, that you give us faith to believe you here tonight, Lord God. Oh, Lord, for you're able to do great things. Oh, Lord, great things above that which we ask or think, Lord. More than we can even esteem and realize, God. More than we can really understand, oh Lord. Oh God, we just come to you, Jesus. And I pray, oh Lord, that you would touch, Lord. Oh Lord, you know those that desperately need you, who need a fresh touch from you, Lord. And I do pray for Vicky's daughter, Mary, Lord, that you would take her, oh Lord, and help her, Lord. Oh God, that you would help her with this trip that she's about to go through, Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that, oh Lord, she would, oh God, draw nigh to you, Lord. Oh God, as you help her and as you go with her, and oh Lord, as you give her strength. Oh Lord, I just pray, oh Lord, that you would do a work in her, oh Lord, and that she will know that you are with her. We thank you, Jesus. We pray, oh Lord, that you'd help us, Lord. Oh God, that you'd give us the understanding that we need, oh Lord. And oh God, we ask, oh Lord, that, oh God, any unclean spirits, any works of darkness, oh Lord, anything, oh God, that's come, oh Lord, to distract or, oh God, to hinder, Lord. We come against those unclean elements, Lord. And oh God, we plead thy blood and thy mercy, Lord. Oh God, we know, oh Lord, we have power from thee, Lord. We have thy saving name, Lord. We can cry out, Lord. We can tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, knowing that nothing shall by any means hurt us. We thank you, God, for you bought us with a price, and we are your children, Lord. We love you, Lord. We praise you, God, and I pray, oh Lord, that you'd use this message and that you'd talk to our hearts. Oh God, that you'd take us to those places that we need to be in you, Lord. Oh God, that you'd help us to draw nigh to you, Lord, with true hearts. Oh God, you'd give us understanding, and Lord, that you'd work in us while it is yet time. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. I think we all go through those moments when all these little hindrances come up. But thank God, you know, get down on my knees and say, I rebuke you, devil. And, you know, I know you're going to take me through this. And it's going to be all right. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's going to be all right. Because we know our God, and he's here to help us. He's here to meet our needs, and we can call upon him at all times. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to call this message, Cry of the Hour. Cry of the Hour. And as I began, I'm going to go to Romans, the 13th chapter, looking at verse 11 to begin, and we'll see how the Lord leads us here tonight. Praising him. Thanking him. The cry of the hour. Oh my. And here it is, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Praise the Lord, praise God. We just know, as we see what's happening in this world, that the darkness is all around us. I think if we've lived a few years, we all know that things have changed dramatically, even in the last 20 years, you know, and you want to double that, the last 40 years. I mean, it's phenomenal, the changes in this world and the things that are coming to pass by the decrees of men, so they think. But praise the Lord, we know that God still has a people. God has a remnant. And I truly believe that he's calling forth. In this last day, I believe there's a call that's going forth. It's a call for the remnant of God's people. It's a call to come out of slumber. It's a call to come out of sleep. It's a call to get right, to get ready, to put on the armor of God, to live above sin, to live above reproach, to do the works of our Heavenly Father. Oh yes, to cast off all the works of darkness. Yes, because the day is going. It's like it says, the day of the Lord is at hand. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. And so it's time. It's time to cast off all the hindrances, all the works of darkness, all the things that seek to destroy, all the things that we procrastinate against doing, and all the things that are deep down that we know we need to do, but yet we don't because we think we have forever. No, of course we don't have forever, do we? No, we don't. We know that. But, you know, sometimes life is so abrupt. Sometimes the changes come very suddenly. And sometimes people all at once realize there's no more time. It's over. You know, the day has been far spent. And here it is. It's there's no longer that wonderful element of time that we all need. And I think, you know, it's the world that we live in, you can just see the doings of the enemy, how he so tears here and there and everywhere, you know, among all the good seeds that the Lord had planted there's tares that come up and grow and try to seek and just destroy and devour. You see that in the attitudes of people. You know, I think in this world that we live in, people are so close, are so familiar with shortcuts and doing things quickly and, you know, going out and buying, you know, a quick meal or whatever. All that that whole attitude is applied to the things of God. So often, that lazy spirit, that easy living, even the sloppiness that is so apparent among, you know, many elements that we have to see from time to time. And I know how often is it that, you know, you maybe buy something and or order something, and when you get it, it's not like you hoped, and you have to send it back, and maybe even a second time. You know, it's just not right. You know, somebody put their stamp of approval on it, I guess, but you know, it's far from perfect. It's not what was expected, and I think that attitude is reflected on the way people think and the way they serve God, and their careless nonchalantness. And of course, it goes into religion, doesn't it? These days, what do we see? We see people in the pulpits that don't fear the Lord. People in the pulpits that just preach social religions and you know, try to get people together, that declaration of peace and all joining together. It's upon us right now. You see that careless attitude. Oh, yes. Even people saying, well, that's close enough. I was baptized 3 times. That should do it. That's close enough. Oh, yes, I heard somebody say that one time. You know, but, you know, is it according to the Word of God? Is it according to Scripture? God is exacting. Oh, God is perfection. And God has requirements. And people have become careless in their attitude toward Him, not realizing, I guess, that one day they're going to stand before Him. One day they're going to have to give an account of their stewardship. And if it isn't according to God's word, if it isn't according to His will, they're not going to hear Him say, well done. And how can you look into the eyes of Almighty God? How can you look into those eyes if you've not done well? If you've not heeded the gospel? Yes, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a gospel? So great a salvation. Oh, yes, that came down from heaven. Oh, yes, a God who cared so much, who loved us so much that He put Himself under His own law, robed Himself in flesh, and came down to this world. Oh, yes. But here we are tonight. And thank God we can open up the pages of God's Word and we can be admonished. Just going here for a moment to 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, for a little bit here. And again, we see attitudes here. An attitude that's very prevalent. And of course, 2 Timothy, that epistle, speaks much of it. But if we look particularly at chapter 4, and this was some of Paul's very last writings before his life was over, and maybe his last for all I know, but you know, you could tell from the tone of it that he knew that it was the time of his departure from this world. But you know, he could say that he had fought a good fight, and that he had finished his course, and that he had kept the faith. And how important is that? How wonderful is that? We all want to have that testimony. When it's all over, it's over. When time is no more, it's over. You know, when it comes time for us to walk through this door of life into the other world, then, you know, we all want to be able to say that we fought a good fight. Yes, and that we finished our course and that we've kept the faith. We want to say that. So here Paul is writing here in this 4th chapter. He begins by saying in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Oh yes, he's going to appear one of these days. Yes, he came first of all, the first time to save us from our sins. But the second time he's coming at his appearing to judge the quick and the dead, those that are alive and those that are dead in Christ, and those that have been separated from Christ. It says in verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Oh yes, that word doctrine does matter. How many don't esteem it, you know, many ignore it. Many think that, you know, we could all unite on you know, just the premise that we all believe in God, perhaps, or maybe not even that. But here it does tell us, Paul is admonishing Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, the need to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For it tells us, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And if there ever was a time when sound doctrine is not endured, I think it's right now. I think it's right now. You can hardly find a church where they teach sound doctrine. You can hardly find one. But it tells us, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. Oh yes, find teachers after their own thinking. After their own thoughts. They have itching ears. They would rather not hear truth. They just would like to be appeased in their spirits. They would like to think that all is well. All is okay. I'm okay. You're okay. Oh, yes, just don't teach sound doctrine. Just don't tell me that. And it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Oh, how sad it is. But I think these verses here very well describe the conditions in this world in which we live today, that time when they do not endure sound doctrine. But it's after their own lusts, after their own thinking. They would like teachers that teach according to their own ways. Their ears itch. Oh, yes, don't give me truth. Don't give me sound doctrine. But so it is. That's the attitude that is the land. And we know that the book of Amos there, one of the minor prophets there, we also hear that description of these last days when Amos was crying out and telling, he was talking about these times when there would be a famine in the land, there in the 8th chapter of Amos. Oh yes, it wasn't going to be a famine of bread nor a thirst for water. But the famine was going to be that of hearing the words of the Lord. It tells how they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Oh yes, do we get letters from people who are looking for the word of truth? Do we get letters? Oh yes, I recently had one from a woman that actually attended this church here for a while, several years ago, and now she's in Michigan, I believe, and was wondering if we happened to know a church there where she could fellowship. And I don't know too many churches like that. But I thank God in this case this woman said that she was listening to our materials and that she kept the faith and she still believed the doctrine that is taught in these pulpits here. I thank God for that. I'm so thankful that there are people that do endure and that will be ready when the Lord comes. Thank the Lord for that. But here we are in this time when there's a famine in the land. Oh, it's not a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Yes, that's the case. And of course, we know Jesus told that parable in the 13th chapter of Matthew about the man who went forth and sowed good seed in his fields. And while everyone was sleeping, there were some nasties. There was an enemy that came out and sowed in the field too, and sowed tares, weeds, among all the good seed that had been sown, the wheat that had been sown. course, at first it wouldn't be known, would it? But then that blade sprang up, and those blades began to bear fruit, and it became evident that some of them were not the wheat that had been planted. They were tares, they were weeds, they were hindrances growing there in the field. And, you know, the man that planted said, "Well, didn't I sow good seed in my field? How come there's these tares?" And then it came. Oh yes, there was an enemy who had to do this. There was an enemy that came and planted weeds, planted tares. The servants didn't quite know how to think of this. They said, "Well, should we go? Wilt thou have us go and gather up all the tares?" And the farmer said, "No, nay. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them." He said, "Let them both grow together into the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." That's exactly how it's going to be. Oh yes, you know, there's sometimes, you know, people have the appearance of being a Christian, but God looks in the heart, doesn't he? He knows what's really genuine and what's false. He sees it all, and surely the day does declare it. I know sometimes you don't always know how to perceive certain circumstances, but as time goes by, the story is told, and it becomes obvious one way or the other if it's a tare or if it's a good seed, if it's the wheat. But God will always know, won't he? Because he discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He knows that one day it's going to be that time of the harvest. Oh yes, the Lord of the harvest is going to stand and gather all as all stand before him. And it tells us first the tares are gathered. First the tares are gathered and bundled up to be burnt. To be burnt. And we don't want to be those tares, do we? We don't want to be gathered up and rooted out and cast into eternal damnation, into the fire of God's wrath. But praise the Lord, he's given us opportunity. Oh, to be that good ground, to be that good seed that brings forth good fruit that can stand before the Lord at that time of his judgment. I pray that we would all be in that class. For we all have an adversary, don't we? We have an adversary, the devil, who is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, we're told there in Peter, 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, in verse 8. And we learn that we must resist him. We must resist him steadfast in the faith. And also we must be sober, we must be vigilant, we must be watchful, because things sneak up on people, don't they? I mean, things can be seeming to go really quite smoothly, and then all at once, some little thing gets in there, some little tear gets in there, and somehow there's some kind of distraction, there's some kind of hindrance in it. If we're not watchful, if we're not sober-minded, we might miss it. We might make a mistake. We might let down our guards. But we must not. We must not, because the devil is relentless. He's always going from one tactic to the next. He's always trying one thing. If it doesn't work, then he'll try something else. And he's seeking whom he may devour. But praise the Lord, we can resist him. We have great power over the enemy. We have the power of the name of Jesus. We have authority in his name, since we have been baptized in that saving name. Since he filled us with the Holy Ghost, we have authority, we have power, we have the ability to resist him. We can stamp on him. And yes, we must be wary, we must be watchful, we must be faithful in the ways of the Lord, so that we will perceive what is right and what is wrong. We need to know the word too, don't we? But here it is. It's time to wake up. It's time to get right. It's time to break up that fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. We're going to go to the Old Testament right now and go to 2 Kings chapter 22. And as we talk about the great cry of the hour, I want you to see how this is exemplified here among the kings here. Chapter 22, we're going to be talking about a faithful king of Judah, Josiah. He began to reign when he was just 8 years old, very tender age. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And praise the Lord, he has a good report. It tells us that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. That's a wonderful testimony. But so it tells us here in 2 Kings 22, it was the 18th year of his reign. So I would say that makes him about 26 years old. He's still really young, but it obviously came to him at that point that it was time to clean, to repair the temple. Obviously, it must have been some time since somebody had that desire and that thought, and you know what happens in time if you don't keep up with certain things. After a while, they seem to go a little bit awry and get a little bit rusty a little bit run down, and the cobwebs form and all these other things, All of it happens. So here it was, obviously time to do some repairs on the house of the Lord. So here is Josiah, and he sends Shaphan, one of the scribes, to go to Hilkiah, the high priest, and he's going to have Hilkiah be the one in charge here. They're going to put things together here, so that they can get the necessary supplies, the timber, the stones, and the need to hire carpenters and builders and masons to do all the repair work. Obviously, there was a lot to be done. And so Hilkiah goes forward, and it seems that the work has begun, and they're doing it. They're cleaning house. They're getting it back to the way it needs to be here. But suddenly, a rather astonishing thing happens as they begin to clean house. It tells us in verse 8, "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it." Now, here's an amazing thing. Here they were Israelites, they were Jews, they were cleaning the house of the Lord. But obviously, from the contents here, in the context, it seems that they did have the word of the Lord readily available for them to read. It had been lost. Obviously, it had been hidden. And amazingly, wonderfully, Hilkiah finds it, and he gives it to Shaphan, and Shaphan the scribe reads it. And then there's a realization that, we better bring this to the king. This has been hidden for a while. Oh no, we better bring it to the king. And so they bring that word that was hidden to Josiah, and they tell him, "The servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord." And then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. So amazing. It had been hidden. The thing that was so necessary, the thing that was so essential for them living right and doing the things that pleased the Lord, it had been hidden. And it tells us in verse 11, "When it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes." And it says in verse 12, the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Asahiah a servant of the king, saying, go ye, inquire the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that is written concerning us. Oh, what a sorry sight. Can you just imagine if we didn't have a Bible? We didn't have these words of life that instruct us and lead us and give us that heavenly manna from heaven. If we didn't have it, then all at once somebody found it and we begin to read it and we realize, hey, I'm not living like that at all. I don't have this understanding. I don't even know what it's talking about hardly. But that's the way it was in old Israel here. They found the book. They found the law. It had been hidden. They had not had it for a period of time. And all at once, there it is. And Josiah the king rents his clothes because he realizes we're not living according to what it states. We're not living according to the ways of the Lord. Oh no, what are we going to do? How are we going to stand before God? As he had a heart to do right, he had a heart that wanted to honor God, obviously. But then that realization struck him. Oh, we're far from what it records here. We're not doing these things that are required of us. We have not hearkened into the words of this book. Oh, what are we going to do? So it tells us in verse 14, so Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Asahiah went unto Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harvest, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. Here was a woman, a prophetess, that obviously was walking with the Lord. And they went to her, and she gave them the words of the Lord. She said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me, they have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. Oh, to fall into the hands of an angry God. None of us want to fall into the hands of an angry God. Oh, when God has wrath, when it's over, when that, his anger is exposed. We don't want to fall into condemnation. Oh, there is no way. People can't half imagine. They can't begin to imagine what it's going to be like when the wrath of God is outpoured. Oh, when they have to stand before Him if they have not done well, if they have not known the book, and if they have not adjusted their life accordingly. But praise the Lord, there was going to be mercy for Josiah. It says, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Oh, I thank God that He will hear the cries of people when they cry out in true repentance, when there's remorse, when there's sorrow. Oh, yes, when there's true weeping that comes from the heart, when there's real realization that they have not done well, that they have not sought the Lord, that they're not living in accordance to the Word of God. Oh, thank God, God has mercy. He has mercy for them that will seek His face into repentance and turning away from sin. So a promise was given him. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again.
oh yes, his sons did too well. They would follow his grandson, and they would, judgment would follow, because yes, that king of Babylon was coming, and they would be consumed, they would be destroyed, they would be carried off into Babylon and other places. But for Josiah, because his heart was tender, because he was willing to humble himself before the Lord, his cry was heard. And I thank God that we can cry before the Lord, that we can humble ourselves, that we can have a heart towards God, and he will hear us. But it's amazing what had to be done. Not only was there initial repentance, but there were works that had to follow. Works that had to follow. And so it is, the king sent in verse 1 of chapter 23. The king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. Okay, now they're going to hear it. Now they're going to hear the words of the Lord. And it tells us the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments, his testimonies, and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. So here they are, they're all hearing. And so they made a covenant with the Lord. Oh yes, they made an agreement with God that they were going to turn from their evil ways, that they were going to uphold his commandments, his statutes, his testimonies. They were going to serve the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul, that they were going to do the words of the covenant. They made that resolution before the Lord. I believe God heard it. But now there was work that had to be done. There were some undoings that had to be done, because those kings before Josiah had done much damage. Oh yes, they had not had the word of God, and they were walking in their own ways. They were walking in the ways of the heathen, and it was not good. It was horrible. And as this chapter 23 of 2 Kings continues, we realize some of the horrendous things that were done there in Jerusalem, even in the house of the Lord. You know, it pays to clean house, doesn't it? I know, even in the natural sense, sometimes when you're cleaning out that drawer or that closet, and you find these things that you hadn't thought about for years, and sometimes it's something so special, or, you know, maybe even a letter that speaks to your heart, and you know, all the good things that sometimes happen because you take time to clean. But how much more is it important to examine our hearts, and to see if we really are following after the Lord, if we're really living according to his will, his ways, his testament. And so it is, here they were, they now had made that covenant, but now it was time to undo all the evil that had been done. And this is what repentance is all about. It's coming to the Lord with a broken and contrite heart, with a spirit that's broken and tender before the Lord, and ready to turn from one's evil ways. But it may be that there's going to be things that we have to undo, things that are in our lives that have crept in, things in our house, in our home, in our family, traditions perhaps that we're carrying out that are not according to Scripture. Oh yes, things that we hold to, idols in the heart. Oh, God knows. He tells us here, verse 4, and the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. Oh yes, when you clean house, you might find some things that kind of had snuck in. You might find some old recordings, maybe some terrible old music, maybe some CDs, maybe some DVDs, maybe some movies, maybe some books, maybe some occult things that need to go. Oh yes, that's what happens when we begin to clean house. Oh yes, oh, the things that have snuck in, or maybe were forgotten about, and here they were cleaning out the temple of the Lord. Oh, vessels made for Baal, God forbid, but they were there. And vessels made for the grove, for the hosts of heaven. Oh yes, Josiah had the zeal of the Lord there. He took those articles and he burned them without Jerusalem, the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. Oh, I'm going to get rid of this. I can't have those things in my house. I've got to get rid of them. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to the host of heaven. Oh, he put those people down. Oh, yes, we better be careful who stands in the pulpit. We better be careful who we listen to. And here's Josiah. Oh, I can't have that. I can't have that. He brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, burned it on the brook Kidron, stamped it small to powder, cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. Oh, he was going to get rid of it. There was a vengeance in his heart. There was a hatred for these things that had crept in. And he was repenting. He was turning past all of this. He's getting rid of all these creepy things that had come into play here in the house of the Lord and among the people of God. And it says also in verse 7, now listen to this, he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. Oh, they had built houses for the Sodomites by the house of the Lord. Oh, how despicable, how horrible, where the women wove hangings for the grove, all those tapestries that they had woven for idolatry, for occult purposes, all those things. Oh, yes, we don't want anything in our house that pertains to the occult, do we? We don't want anything pertaining to the Sodomites in our house. And he broke it down. He broke it down. Everything that he could find. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. All these things, he broke down those high places. Everything that pertained to idolatry, he was going to get rid of. Everything that was heathen, everything that was not of God, he was going to get rid of. And it says, nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And it tells us he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Moloch. All the horrendous things that had been going on among these people that were supposed to be called by the name of the Lord. Oh man, they were doing the ways of the heathen. They had defiled Topheth, and there they had brought their children to pass through the fire. Oh, even tossing them to the fire of Moloch. Oh, how horrendous. How horrible. It was time to repent. It was time to get right. It was time to get rid of all the things that defiled them. Oh, that made their garments dirty and defiled. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burn the chariots of the sun with fire. I don't want anything that pertains to idolatry. I don't want anything that is of the world. You know, if you find something like that, you better destroy it. You better get rid of it. Don't give it to somebody else. They'd just be defiled with it too. So he burns those chariots. He took away those horses that had been given to the sun. Oh, he was going to get rid of all those things. that had corrupted them and brought this tremendous defilement, separating them from God, abominable things that had been in their midst. And the altars, they were on top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. These things had been dedicated to idols. They didn't belong in the house of the Lord. And shame on them. Kings of Judah had made them. Manasseh had made them king of Judah. But here is Josiah, the zeal of the Lord upon him. He beat down those altars. He broke them down and he cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. He had them so beat up and so burnt and so destroyed that there was only dust left, which he cast into the brook Kidron. In the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption. Oh yeah, they got things on the left hand, they got things on the right hand. And here it is. The high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. Oh, what business did Solomon have doing this? Yet he did. He greatly angered the Lord those latter days of his life. He built these places for those heathen wives that he had. But praise God, one came, Josiah came, breaking down those places. All this time had passed. All those kings had lived on, and yet nobody had taken these places down. Nobody had corrected the wrongs that had been made. It was time. It was time to get right. That was the cry of the hour. As he went forth, and he broke in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high places which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he broke down, he burned the high place, he stamped his small to powder, and burned the grove. Oh, he was going to get rid of it. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Oh yes, that man of God that had come to Jeroboam when he was offering sacrifices, and he had made those calves so that the people would not have to, when there was that separation, the 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes, Jeroboam had offered those calves. He put those calves there so the people would not go to Jerusalem to worship. He had defiled his God by doing so. And that man of God who wasn't identified had declared in 1 Kings, the 13th chapter, that there was going to be one that would come. His name was Josiah. He was going to come, and he was going to burn those bones. It was all going to be ultimately destroyed. It had been declared by this man of God, whom God sent to Jeroboam to warn him. It tells us in verse 17, then he said, "What title is that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the sepulchre of the man of God, which came from Judah, and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel." And he said, "Let him alone, let no man move his bones." So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophets, with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. The others were disrupted, and they were burned upon the altar because of the pollution, the sin, the distress. Oh yes, the abominations that had come forth because of that. And yes, he goes on. "And all the houses also, the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel Here's Josiah. It seems that he left no stone unturned. Everything that came to his heart to do, I believe he did it. He slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. And now it was time to keep the Passover. Yes, there had been that initial making a covenant and the work of repentance as they realized that they had not done according to the book of the law, according to the word of the Lord, that it had been defiled, it had been dishonored, it had not been kept. So they made a covenant, Josiah with the people, and then it was time to undo all that evil that had been done. It was time to make things right. And that's what happens when we come to the Lord. Oh, there's going to be that realization. Oh, I'm unclean. I'm sinful lips. I have not done according to the word of the Lord. There's that sudden bitter realization. But praise the Lord. The Lord begins to work on us so that we can come, that we can bring it before the Lord, so we can repent. And by His grace and mercy, we can begin to undo the things that had been done that were abominable in the sight of the Lord. And then, after Josiah did all this, it was time to keep the Passover. It was time to do the wonderful things that were written in the book of the covenant, the things that are meaningful, the things that honor God. It was time to keep the Passover. And it says in verse 21, and the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant, of this covenant. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem, not another occasion like it. You know, their hearts were right now. They had repented. They had returned to the Lord. They had done everything that they needed to do in order to get right. Now they could rejoice. Now they could be filled with the good tidings. Now they could observe the Passover with a clean heart, with a right spirit. And it says there was no Passover in the former days like unto this one. And there were other things that Josiah had to do. It tells us in verse 24, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, the wizards, the images, and the idols, and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away. He went forth and cleaned out the land. He cleaned out the land of Judah from one end to the other, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Oh my, what a wondrous story. What a wonder the whole thing was. There they were all that time with all that filth surrounding them, all those pagan obstructions in their way, defiling them, separating them from God. Oh, no wonder they couldn't really reach out to the Lord. They had all those things in the way. So important it is for all of us that our lives be cleaned up. Yes, it's a wonderful thing when He brings us to that knowledge that Jesus is Lord. Oh, yes, that we can acknowledge who He is and proclaim it, and we can give our lives to Him. We can repent and be baptized in His name for the remission of sins. But yes, as we repent, there's going to be that cleaning house. Oh, yes, things that have to go, things that don't belong in the lives of Christians. And as we continue to walk with the Lord, there may be more and more things that come to mind. Oh yes, maybe things like not putting God first, not seeking His kingdom like we need to, maybe a spirit of indifference, the things that creep in, that continual need to watch our lives, to guard our lives, to be right with the Lord, to search our hearts. You know, that church of Laodicea did not realize the deplorable condition that they were in there in the third chapter of Revelation. Oh yes, that had been a church that had been used of God. But obviously time had went on, and you know, obviously they were doing things. There was some kind of form of religion going on. You know, they obviously were having some kind of services and getting together and doing homage to the Lord, but somehow they didn't realize that things weren't right. They thought they were rich and increased with goods. They were prospering, so they thought all was well. They didn't realize the true spiritual status of their souls. They didn't realize that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They didn't realize that at the first. It takes the Spirit of the Lord to touch our hearts and help us to see, oh yes, the things that try to creep in from time to time, the things that try to overwhelm, things that need to be cleaned out of one's house, the pagan practices that creep in sometimes. Oh yes, we might not even be aware sometimes. Oh yes, that thing doesn't belong to a Christian. Why? That's abominable. That's a heathen practice, such as Christmas, Easter, Valentine's, Halloween, all those things that don't belong in the lives of Christians. Oh, all the things that creep in, you know, the playing cards, maybe tarot cards for all I know, maybe Ouija boards. God forbid that they should be in the life of a Christian, things that pertain to astrology. Oh, yes, sometimes people just aren't aware. But there's a cleaning up that needs to be done. Oh, yes. Oh, looking through the books, maybe the games, maybe the articles, maybe the magazines. Oh, maybe there's some raunchy things that crept in. Maybe somebody brought them in unaware or whatever. Oh, maybe we didn't realize that those contents were evil. But God wants us to be pure. God wants us to be clean. God wants us to be that holy, set-apart people that show forth the praises of our God, who has redeemed us, who has rescued us, who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light, who made us his own people. Oh yes, we had not been the children of God. But praise the Lord, he has shown us so much mercy. He has called us out of the world and into his marvelous light. So it is, oh yes, time to examine, time to look, time to clean house, oh yes. Dumping out the old, ugly stuff that needs to go. Yeah, the stuff that doesn't belong in the life of a Christian. The booze, the cigarettes. Oh, yes, the drugs. Clothes that maybe aren't appropriate. Provocative clothes. We are to be obedient children that don't fashion ourselves according to the former lusts, as it tells us in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 14. Yes, men aren't supposed to look like women, and women are not supposed to look like men. And so it is. There's a time when we need to give it a look. Oh yes, the music that has crept in, and not only, oh my, not only in the households, but I'm afraid into the churches. Churches that have lukewarm spirits. Pastors, preachers with itching ears that no longer know sound doctrine, no longer even read the scriptures sometimes. You know, yes, believe me, I know there's pulpits across this country, even if they are pulpits, it might just be a stand of sort where they don't even use the Word of God. Or even if they do, it might be any other version but the King James. And you know, the Word of God is not coming forth like it needs to. It's not being taught. People aren't aware of what the Scripture truly says. It's just like that time when the law was lost there in the days when Hilkiah, the the priest found the Word of God. He found the law there in the temple. Oh, it should have been the foremost thing. It most should have been the most dear thing to them. It should have been high on their list. It should have been dusted off every day and kept and read and understood and taught day after day after day. But it had been disregarded. It had been hidden somehow. It had been lost. And they weren't living up to it. Oh, I tell you what, that day is coming when we all stand before God. That day is coming when all will stand before the Lord. And I'm afraid there's going to be some who are going to say, Lord, Lord, believing that they can enter in, believing that they prophesied in the name of the Lord, they cast out devils in the name of the Lord, that they did many wonderful works in the name of the Lord. But God's going to say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Oh yes, some will say, Lord, Lord, we've sat at thy table. We saw you on the streets. We went to a church, in other words, and you know, they talked about you, Lord. But did you get your heart right? Did you follow the Word of God? Did you open up the book? Did you read it? Did you understand it? Did you live according to it? What's going to matter in the long run? What's going to matter when we stand before God? It's not what people think. It's not what, you know, the average man declares. It's what God thinks. That's all that's going to matter. Are we living according to the Word? Are we doing the things that are acceptable in His sight? Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? Oh, I say, it's time for God's people, even, to come to Him. It's time that fallow ground be broken up. It's time to seek the Lord like never before. It's time to get the heart right with God. Because I'll tell you what, that day of judgment is forthcoming. That time when time is no more is forthcoming. It's going to come suddenly. It's going to be as a snare upon this earth when that trumpet blows, that last trumpet blows, and oh wow, suddenly the dead in Christ rise, and we which are alive and remain are caught up together with them, and the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I'll tell you what, it's going to come suddenly. It's going to come unannounced, other than for that trumpet. Yes, we see the signs. We see all the things that are happening on this earth. We can tell by it. It's like the book of Revelation is unfolding before our very eyes. But are we doing the things that God has required of us to do? Are we living according to His Word? Are we hiding it in our hearts? Oh my, it's time. It's time to take inventory. It's time to check ourselves. It's time for men and women to rise out of their sleep, out of their slumber. It's time to seek the Lord like never before, because that day is soon to come. That day is soon. That trumpet is soon to blow. In Joel, the second chapter, we can hear the burden of that prophet, because Joel also lived in a time when many sought to themselves, many didn't heed the Word of God, many were involved in heathen practices and not seeking the Lord. And here in Joel, we hear the need to blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in God's holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the earth tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. And the description of it is, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. It tells about how a fire devoureth before them, and behind a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Oh, yes, there it is. God's judgment coming forth. Oh, yes, God's judgment coming forth. And if, oh, this description here, oh, as the prophet was writing, as God was giving him these insights. Tells us in verse 10, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And God's going to come, isn't he? And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Oh, who's going to abide that day of the Lord? But here it is. Joel is telling. In verse 12, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Oh, yes, time to break up that fallow ground. Time to withdraw from the sleeping and the slumbering, the lukewarm state. And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. Who knoweth he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Oh yes, our God is merciful. And praise the Lord, right now at this moment, the door of opportunity to repent, to turn to God is opened. He still stands at the door and knocks at the heart, asking all that he might come in and sup. That individual might make amends with an almighty God before it is too late, before it is over. And here it comes forth in verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that suck the breath, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Oh yes, that time for seeking, that time for weeping, that time for getting right is upon us right now. We don't know the day or the hour of the Lord's coming. It certainly is going to be as a snare. He's going to come quickly. His reward will be with him. But so many will be caught off guard. So many will not be ready at that moment when our Lord does appear. Oh my, yes, as it tells us. Luke 21, verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Oh yes, we all know life has its burdens. Life has its cares. But yet we always have to keep in mind our Lord cometh. We always have to have that awareness that we have to live according to his word and do the things that please him, and to always have a heart that's right before the Lord. There would not have been anything that crept in, that there wouldn't be any sin, that there wouldn't be any unforgiveness, there wouldn't be any nasty spirits that have crept into our lives, any hindrances. For as a snare shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Therefore we're told here in Luke, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Oh yes, he's going to come. He's not going to tarry. It's all going to be over one of these days. And that trumpet is going to be blown. Oh, that trumpet, that last trumpet is going to be blown. And all at once, it's going to be over. I know there was a cry that came forth. You're in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was crying and realizing the sinful position of his people, the things that they had embraced in their lack of willingness to listen and to repent and to turn to God. And there, as he said in Jeremiah 8, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Oh, we don't want that to be our cry. We don't want that to happen. We don't want to have to stand before God and be condemned, do we? But praise the Lord. We have space right now. We have space to do the things that are right. And just as Josiah bid the people to get right with God, he called them all together in a solemn assembly, read the words of the law to them. Oh, yes, they stood, they listened, and they made a covenant with God. Oh, yes, it's time for God's people to examine the Word of God. Yes, a lot of times you talk to people and you realize they hardly know Scripture at all. But these are the words of eternal life. By these words, we're going to be judged. And we need to know what thus saith the Lord, Word of God, what thus saith the Lord. We need to know it. And I just thank God that right now we have opportunity. We have opportunity to give Him our lives, to turn everything around that's not right, to make our amends, and to come to Him while there is yet time. Oh, it's a precious, wonderful thing that we can still come to God and find favor of Him. Oh, yes, that we can be washed in His blood and do the things that are important before it is too late. Praise the Lord. Yes, that time is coming. It is time that Zion awake and trim her lamps and turn from every evil way. It's time to turn away from slumber and sleep, procrastination. It's time to do the things that He's laid upon our hearts, because now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Oh, yes. The harvest is soon to pass. Soon the Lord will put in that sickle, and this earth will be reaped. It will be over. That angel will stand, one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, and declare that time shall be no more. It will be ended. It will be over. And you know, only those things that we have done for Christ will matter. That's the only thing that will count at that moment. Are our hearts right with the Lord? Have we done His will? Have we stood up to the test? Have we lived for God? Oh, the cry of the hour is get right, get ready, prepare, trim your lamps, be ready, be watching, be faithful, do the things that matter. Yes, because that day is coming. Oh, yes, that day is coming, and no man can change it. Our Lord will come and will not tarry. It will be over. But I thank God we have opportunity tonight. We have opportunity tonight to make our amends, to get our hearts right, to do the things that matter. We can break up that fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Yes, till He come and rain righteousness upon us. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank God. Oh, we thank You, Heavenly Father. Oh, for Your word, God, that it's not hidden from us, Lord, but God, You've given it to us, Lord, and we can open it, we can read it, we can regard it, and God, we can change our lives to be according to Thy Scripture, Lord. Oh God, to do the things that please Thee, Lord, and oh God, to be right in Thy sight, Lord. I pray that You would talk to us, Lord. I pray that You'd prepare us. I pray that You'd give us, oh Lord, that zeal that so Josiah had, Lord, to do the things that matter. Oh God, to break down, oh Lord, the things that are hindrances and barriers. Oh God, that keep us from You, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that You'd help us, Lord.
oh God, to do the things that please you, to live according to your laws and your ways. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I ask. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing, we're going to go to number 270 in the Melodies of Praise hymnal. Number 270, Nothing But the Blood.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh.